I appreciate those songs tonight. It's always good to be reminded that there is power in the blood, especially in a time like this. And also that, as I referenced this morning, those angels are still, even though the world seems to be panicking, they're still singing, "Holy, holy, holy." That has not changed. So in Psalm 90 and verse number 1 this evening, my challenge to you tonight and our challenge from really God's word is to number our days. Number our days. Psalm 90 and verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, "Return, ye children of men." For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Father, tonight I pray, God, it seems like so many times in our lives we just continue to go through the motions. And Lord, we're forgetful that eventually our lives will come to an end. So teach us tonight, Lord, and every day as believers to number our days, to apply our hearts to wisdom, to live for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Let me kind of just remind you again that we're kind of taking things as a day on a day-by-day basis and constantly reevaluating. We chose to have services today because we're not yet required to cancel. And if that would change, obviously we would have to address it when it comes. We are making preparations just as sort of a precaution to look into live streaming. And so we have those things in the works right now. If, again, things would progress, as some are saying, and when it comes to that. But until then, just use discernment. Do what's best for your family and do as you feel led. We'll love and we'll honor that. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep preaching, all right? And even if we got to go to live streaming, I'm still going to be preaching. And it might be to an empty an empty sanctuary, but I trust that you'll listen online at least. So I think you can see if people view that, so I'll be looking for you there. You know, some churches chose to close down. We didn't. That doesn't mean that they're wrong and we're right. It also doesn't mean that they're right and we're wrong. I believe every pastor has to do what he feels best for his own congregation. And so for this Sunday, we decided to stay open. I know that I talked to a number of different pastors this week, just kind of calling and tugging on their ear a little bit and seeing what they're doing and what they're thinking. And many of them, especially some mentors, just not just in Ohio, but outside of Ohio as well, who I talked to, and I asked just about every single one of them, have you ever experienced something like this in ministry? And almost all of them, every single one, agreed that this was different than anything that they've really faced to this degree. And but again, just because the world stops doesn't mean our mission stops. And as a matter of fact, you know, I would say, if anything, a lot of the distractions are being taken away. You can't go anywhere. No sports, no school. The bars are closed. For some people, work, now more than ever, is an opportunity to reach people with the gospel. Seems like God has got our attention, huh? My focus tonight is how frail we are. How frail we are as human beings. And I want you to understand the heart and the message, really, this evening. My aim is not to communicate to you that we have to number our days because of this virus. My goal is not to convince you that, you know, that there is a step between us and death because of the coronavirus. My message is not that you aren't promised tomorrow because of the potential illness that you're facing. My message tonight is that your life has always been frail. It is just as frail today as it was last year, last week, last month. You know, in a very uncertain time of King David's life, he had these words to say in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. I'll read it. It'll be on the screen behind me here. But it says, "And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And in reality, truly, all of our lives, every moment of our lives, is but a step between us and death. You weren't promised tomorrow 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. You weren't promised tomorrow. And the virus, it doesn't change that. When all of this is cleared up and everything goes back to normal and the panic settles and the insanity stops, you still won't be promised tomorrow. Do you understand that? I think, if anything, all this does is simply show us just how vulnerable we are. I want you to think about it. You know, listen, I believe the United States of America is the greatest country on the planet, all right? And I am a patriot. Now, I'm a Christian first, but I'm also a patriot. I am pro-USA, all right? I love the United States. But let this be a reminder to us. In the United States, we have so many securities that we take for granted every single day, that other countries, they don't have that. And we're starting to experience some of that. Food in our cabinets, power, clean water, some of these things that we so often take for granted. We don't live under the imminent threat of foreign nations. And we are blessed beyond all belief. And I love to see people rallying together to meet other people's needs. I love that. It's such a blessing to see that, especially when the church steps up to help those in need around us. But let this be a reminder. It doesn't take much to shake a nation. And while we think we're secure and we think we stand firm on anything else besides Christ, we are greatly mistaken. See what a disease or an illness can do to a country in a matter of weeks. Through this psalm tonight, I want to reveal to you four attributes of God. Four attributes of God. This psalm is a reflection of the frailness of man. But make no mistake, this psalm is about God. It is saturated with theology. And theology simply is just the study of the nature of God. This psalm that I read, it is about man and about how feeble we are and about how limited our time is. But it is contrasted with the greatness of God. 18 times in this psalm alone, Moses refers to God. He says, "You, God, you, over and over again." He does that. That is theology. He's talking about God. And we're going to learn about some of God's attributes tonight. Theology is a good thing, by the way. You know, I just heard this past week somebody referenced how we're weighed down by theology. We're weighed down. I don't think they really understood what they were saying. Theology is the study of the nature of God. How could that ever weigh you down? As a matter of fact, folks, that doesn't weigh us down. It elevates us to see who God is. We are so low that we have to study theology to bring ourselves up to just get a peek of who God is. And when your theology is where it needs to be, then your worship can be where it needs to be. How can you worship what you do not know? So tonight, I want you to see four attributes of God. He is eternal, He is sovereign, He is severe, and He is merciful. And I don't know if you know this or not, the psalm that I just read is actually the first psalm ever penned. It is the earliest psalm. You say, well, hang on a sec, preacher. Okay, I haven't been out of school that long, all right? I know 90 comes after number one, right? The book of Psalms is not written in chronological order, all right? In this particular, so Psalm 1 is not the first psalm written. As a matter of fact, again, it is actually Psalm 90. And this particular psalm was written by none other than Moses. And it was written toward the end of Israel's wandering in the wilderness. And also, this is important, toward the end of Moses' life. That's really important. When he says, teach us to number our days, he is towards the end of his life. And the heart of this psalm, really the heartbeat and the pulse of this psalm is found in verse number 12. Let me read that one more time. It says again, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. One man once said it like this, the tragedy of life is not that it's so short, but that we wait so long to live it. You know, earlier today, it was actually right after Sunday school, my watch did something silly. It froze. Now it's not the old-fashioned watch, all right? So it's a digital watch and runs on a battery. I got to charge it and things like that. And it's a GPS watch. And it froze on me right after Sunday school at 10:14:55, all right? Almost exactly 10:15, my watch froze. And I looked down, and I thought, okay, about 15 minutes until service. And then I went around, did some things, came into the sanctuary, got prepared. And then I looked down, I thought, okay, 10:14, all right? And I'm looking around, I thought, man, I got out of Sunday school really early today. And then I think, wait, 10:14 again? I thought, hang on a second. And I notice it's frozen. And so I look, and it's about 3 minutes until service is about to start. And you know, sometimes we wish that we could just freeze time, don't we? But that's not how it works, is it? And, you know, if I could freeze time, you know, my kids asked me one day, they said, if you had any superpower, what would it be? I said, I would travel in time is what I would do. To make up for all the mistakes that I've made and to fix all of my regrets in life. But then you realize that you would never live your life, would you? You'd constantly be going back and trying to change things. Time is important. A man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, I'm sure you've heard of him if you've been around the church for any length of time. He was the leader of what was known as the Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards said this, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyes. He purposed to see in every person that he met the eternity that that person faced. And should we not also do the same? Every person we meet, the first question that should ring in our minds is this person going to heaven? Stamp eternity on our eyes and on our hearts. Edwards determined this, to never do anything that he would be ashamed to do during the last hour of his life. This man lived with a sensitivity to time, the time he had been given. And as Christians, we should live with that same sensitivity, in that same urgency. There really should be an urgency that believers walk around with, that at any moment, we are but a step between us and death. So we live urgent lives, at peace with anything that happens because we know the one who controls everything, but urgent because other people don't know him. Robert Murray McShane said this, "If a neighbor's house were on fire, would we not cry aloud and use every exertion? If a friend were drowning, would we be ashamed to strain every nerve to save him? But alas, the souls of our neighbors are even now on their way to everlasting burnings. They are ready to be drowned in the depths of perdition. Oh, shall we be less earnest to save their never-dying souls than we would to save their bodies?" How anxious was the Lord Jesus in this? When he came near and beheld the city, he wept over it. How earnest was the Apostle Paul? It says that, "Remember, by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Such was George Whitefield. That great man scarcely ever was preaching without being reduced and melted into tears. Brethren, there is need of the same urgency now. Hell is as deep and as burning as ever. Unconverted souls are surely rushing to it. Christ is as free. Pardon is as sweet as ever. Ah, how we shall be amazed at our coldness when we do get to heaven. Are we urgent in our lives? Let's look at these four attributes tonight. The first attribute of God that we will look at to help us number our days. And that's why we're looking at these. Please understand. These attributes teach us to number our days. So don't miss that message. The first attribute is that God is eternal. That he is eternal. It's found in the first few verses of this psalm. Look again to Psalm 90 in verse 1. Moses writes, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Now that's an interesting statement right there. If you remember again, when you really think about who is saying this and when they are saying it, because at this point in time, the children of Israel have been without a home for nearly four decades. And Moses says, "Lord, you are our dwelling place. You are our home." They have been wandering. Israel is like a tumbleweed blowing through the wilderness. They're like stray animals on the outskirts of Canaan. But Moses knows that no matter where their body is or has been, God has been the home for their soul. And how encouraging for us, even tonight, no matter where you find yourself in life, in the not even on the highest mountain peak and mountaintop of your Christian life, but even in the lowest valley or whatever you're going through, he is our dwelling place. He is our home. Verse 2 continues of Psalm 90. It says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." From everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the first. He is the last. He is the author. He is the finisher. He is from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is eternal. Now, why or how does God being eternal teach us to number our days? What does God's eternality have to do with our frailty? Because while God is eternal, our life here on earth is not. It's not. And what a stark contrast. God, our lives are not like you, eternal. Our time is not infinite. So teach us to number our days, because our days are not eternal. Our days are limited. It teaches us to number our days. Our lives are dwarfed in comparison to the eternal nature of God, we are reminded every moment that every day is not to be taken for granted. It is not to be wasted away. We must be intentional. Listen to me tonight. We must be intentional about living for the glory of God, because you will not glorify God in your life by accident. It's not going to happen by chance. We have to be intentional. God is eternal. We are not. So number your days, Christian. Number your days. Here is the second attribute of God that we see from this wonderful, wonderful text. God is sovereign. He is sovereign. Glance with me to verse number 3. Moses says, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men." God brings man to destruction. In other words, to dust. It is God who brought man from the dust. It is God who decides when man is brought back to the dust. He has appointed every single person who has ever lived a beginning and an end. And no one has ever strayed from those lines. It is God who brought man from the dust. It is God who returns him to it. In other words, God has determined the exact number of days that you have. And God is sovereign in his timing, that when we will be turned back to dust, well, that's completely up to him. He is sovereign over our lives. Psalm 139 and verse 16, it kind of echoes the same idea. It says this, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." Do you understand what that verse is saying? That God has in essence written and tracked the number of our days in a book. He's already written them down. They're already predetermined before we take our first breath when we will take our last breath. He is sovereign. Our days are numbered in his book. In the book of Job, chapter 14, verse number 1 says this, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Verse 2, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not." In Job 14 and verse 5, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." He has appointed our days. And there is nothing you can do to exceed those days. You know, I was reading a quote from Charles Spurgeon this past week. It was shared and I picked it up. And Spurgeon was writing about the crisis of the atomic bomb. And in his day, people were in complete panic and fear over the atomic bomb. And the man who had posted this quote, they said, "Just take atomic bomb and replace it with coronavirus." In his words, and I won't read the entirety of the quote, but one thing jumped out to me that Spurgeon said. He said, "Do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented." We all have a death sentence. It is determined by the sovereign God. God determines every day that we have. He has drawn a line in the sand of time, and he says, "You will not cross this line." Now, how does that help us to number our days? Well, friend, even though God knows our days, we do not. We do not. We truly do not know how much time has been allotted to us, so that should cause us to number our days. In other words, to value the days that we have. Moses continues in verse number 5 of Psalm 90. He says this, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood." He's like, our lives are like a flash flood. They're out of nowhere. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. Verse 6 says, "In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." It's referring to in that time and in that climate where in the cool of the day, these bulbs of grass or plants would spring up in the early morning. But by noon, the hot sun would come out and begin to dry these plants away. And by the evening, they were withered away and the wind would come and blow as if they had never, ever existed. Moses is using a lot of different imagery here. He says, this is our life. We spring up, we wither away, and we're gone. And we're gone. Psalm 103 and verse 14, it says, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth." Verse 16, "For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." The reality is this, in 100 years from now, every single person in this room is going to be gone and likely forgotten. We are gone. So teach us, God, to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. God is eternal. God is sovereign. Here's our third attribute tonight. We see that God is severe. He is severe. In verse number 7, it says this, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance." This is Moses writing about Israel, not the Canaanites, not the pagan nations. He says, "Your wrath is kindled against us, God." You know, here's a truth that you will find all throughout Scripture. God punishes sin. He punishes sin. Now listen, as believers, yes, we have been forgiven. Amen, that our penalty has been paid because there is power in the blood. Amen, and we have been washed white. Yes, we are legally innocent because of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. However, your disobedience as a child of God, hear me on this, will affect the quality of time that you have to serve the Lord. Remember again who is writing this and when it is being written. Moses is writing about Israel. What are they doing? The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, going around and around and around in circles in the wilderness. Why were they walking around? Disobedience to the Lord. If ever someone wasted time, was it not the Israelites in the wilderness? If you look throughout the entirety of the Bible and pinpoint a single moment where a group of people wasted more time, you would have to go to the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks is what it should have taken them to go from Egypt to Jordan. And it took them 40 years because of sin. Because of sin. God took 40 years away from them that they should have been in the promised land conquering, showing the glory of God in their nation. But instead, they didn't trust God and their lives were wasted. Look, we can't afford to waste our time living in sin. We must number our days. God has gifted us a number of days. And those days are to be stewarded so that our lives glorify God, because once they are gone, we cannot get them back. In verse 9, Moses says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Our lives are, Moses says, our lives now are just a tale that is told. Think about that. Think about all that we read God doing in Israel. And then the Israelites come to the wilderness, and for 40 years, we should have been reading those 40 years where they went into Canaan and they experienced all these victories and God was glorified and they saw their enemies defeated. But it seems like 40 years vanishes in the Bible because they were disobedient to the Lord. And Moses knows it. What does he say? He says, now, what is your life? That older generation, their life was just a tale. That was it. Well, they didn't go in. They spent their life in the wilderness. That phrase literally means just as a sigh. A sigh. I can't help but think of James 4 and verse 14. He says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Here today, gone tomorrow." Is it any wonder why Jesus said in John 9, 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." He said, we must work while it is day because the night is coming. One day the clock stops. Moses says in verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." He says, the average man is just 70 years. That's what we have. He says, if by reason of strength you get 10 more years, what are those 10 years? But sorrow and labor. 10 years is nothing in eternity. So we have to number every day as if it is precious. Because one day we all fly away. George Orwell tells a story about a wasp that landed on his plate. Orwell says the wasp was, I quote, "sucking jam on his plate, and Orwell reached down and cut him in half. He paid no attention. The wasp merely went on with his meal while a tiny stream of jam trickled out of his body. Only when he tried to fly away did he grasp the dreadful thing that had happened to him." So, verse 12 says, you see the transition here? So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The final attribute of God that I want to preach to you this evening for just a moment is the mercy of God. God is eternal. God is sovereign. God is severe. He does punish sin. So if we are living our lives in sin, we are wasting our time. Teach us to number our days. But lastly, God in this passage we see is merciful. Look at verse 13. It says, "Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants." In verse 14, just briefly says this, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy." With thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. The fourth attribute to teach you to number your days is the mercy of God. Who here has not squandered time? Have we not all wasted time? Praise God for his mercy. That he doesn't say, you wasted the day, I'm not giving you another day. But praise God that not only is he severe, but he is also merciful. Is that not the perfect balance of who our God is? He is a consuming fire, and yet he is a merciful God. We all need God's mercy. We have all wasted time. But listen, if you are hearing my voice tonight, God has given you enough mercy so that you have this moment right here, right now. And as believers, we ought to pray this evening that God would teach us to number our days. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you've never been saved. Friend, then God has given you undeserved mercy so that you could hear right now the words which I am about to say to you. Be sure, friend, that you are but a step between you and death, that we are not promised tomorrow, that we are frail, that at any moment we are here as the flower one day and then gone the next. But Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. And friend, he went to Calvary so that you could go to heaven. He wants to save you. He will save you tonight, right here, right now, in this place, if you, one, repent of your sins and put your faith in him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in our heart, we will be saved. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. God is a God of mercy. We ought to pray this evening, God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to value every moment, the importance of every day that we have left, so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. We ought to feel the weight of every day we have left. King David had a similar plea as Moses. He says in Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. We leave you with one other verse this evening. In 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, the woman of Tekoa has some wise words. She says, for we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered again. That is your life. That is your life. So number your days, Christian, and apply your hearts to wisdom. Would you stand with me tonight? As you stand, I would invite you to bow along with me. Here in just a moment, we'll have a time of